Hello, and welcome to the Agape House of Worship weekly podcast. Through this podcast, we hope and pray that you will be equipped and empowered to live the life that God has planned for you. If you are blessed by this message and would like more information, please visit our website at www.agapehousenj.org. Thank you, and God bless.
Glory to God. Shall we just be on our feet as we pray to our Father in heaven? Let's just stand for a couple of minutes as we bow our heads. Father, we just want to give you all the glory this morning. Even though we deserve nothing, you are the God who has given unto us everything. Teach us to know, God, that you are our light. Without you, God, we'll be in darkness. When problems come our way, just like non-stop rain, you've been our umbrella. You are the reason, oh God, why we've made it this far. When people hurt us, we know that you will heal us. When people humiliate us, we know you will heighten us, oh God. When people judge us, you justify us. Lord, and I pray you shall give me the grace and the confidence, oh God, to deliver your word just exactly the way you want me to deliver your word. And I thought God's people say aloud, amen.
Amen.
Before you sit down, just look for five people, give them a slap or a high five, and tell them, just hold on for a minute, and tell them, I am too grateful to be unfaithful. Five people. Praise God, somebody. Let's be seated in God's presence. Glory be to God. I just want to thank God for giving me the grace to be here this morning to share his word. And I just want to thank Pastor for giving me the platform to do this morning. Pastor, I appreciate you. I struggled a little bit when I was preparing for this message. The Lord gave me that I should speak about hope. And I just sort of went to prepare a message around grace. And the Lord kept bringing me back to this text today of 1 Samuel 1. And I kept pulling myself away because I've preached on it before. I thought, am I just sort of going back to the familiar? But the Lord said, just go there. And I believe today the Lord has a word for somebody. And I thought I had amen.
Amen.
The title for the message today is the purpose of penis provocation. Let's say that together. Let's say it as a church. Penny there means penina. Glory be to God. We're going to be talking about five lessons from our passage as we examine how the pressure from Penny propelled Hannah to the place of pleasure. Someone say glory be to God. Lesson number one. Sometimes God delivers us through our problems, not from them. There are situations when the Lord will take our problem away from us or take us away from our problem. But there are also situations where God will want us to walk through those problems to get to the promised land. You didn't understand what I'm saying. God will want us to walk through the Red Sea to get even to the promised land. God will want us to walk through the wilderness experience to get to our destination. Somebody say, yes, Lord. And the Bible says Elkanah and his family, they attended this feast in Shiloh year after year. Somebody say, year after year. As I was preparing this message, the Lord was telling me that I should let somebody here know the Agape retreat you've been attending year after year, you've been disappointed. You brought some things before the Lord and they seem as if nothing is working. The Lord says, I should tell you, 2017 July, go even to that retreat and I will meet you at the point of your need. I thought I had a more enthusiastic amen. You didn't get that. I thought I had a more enthusiastic amen. Now, this passage paints a picture of an all-round crisis. It was a picture of an all-round crisis, at least 6 layers of crisis. The household of Elkanah, the Bible tells us, was in crisis. It was a dysfunctional family, an unpleasant domestic situation, a family at odds with itself, riven by rivalry, fragmented by contention. Have you been in a situation where in a family they are not working together, they're just working differently? That shall not be your portion in the name of Jesus. And the Bible also talks about Elkanah, the head of this household. He was a Levite. He was esteemed. He was treasured, cherished, a respected man, admired, I believe, by his peers. But he was also in a crisis. He was squeezed between the woman he loved more and the woman he loved less. He was sandwiched between the woman the society has diagnosed as being barren and the woman who gave him kids. Penny herself was in a crisis. Penny would have been wondering, what else could I have done for my husband? I gave him kids, yet he loved my adversary more than myself. Now watch this short. The Bible says they all went to Shiloh year after year. Is that not correct? So Penny herself was also in Shiloh. And in other words, she was a worshiper. I don't know whether she worshipped in spirit and in truth, but she was also a worshiper. Yet, she was nasty. Suppose she was nasty. So in other words, being in an environment of worship doesn't make you a good person. You know, sometimes in church, you find some of the nastiest people. Look at your neighbor. Say, maybe the preacher is talking about you. Glory be to God, somebody. Being a good and righteous person is a thing of the heart. That's why the Bible talks about the heart of stone and the heart of flesh. Number four, Hannah was also in a crisis. She had almost everything a woman could want. Nice husband who loved her loads, a humble man and disposition, but she was in a crisis of her life. She was boxed in by society that placed a premium on having children. A society that was quick to judge somebody. She was between the rock and the hard place, between the armies of Pharaoh and the Red Sea. And I believe in Shiloh, the tent of Penny will be filled by the excitable voices of little children, running around, jumping around, sitting on daddy's laps, pulling even the beard of daddy. But here was Hannah, looking bemused, bewildered, and baffled. Wondering, God, when will you show up? Have you been in a situation where you did everything you are meant to do? You pay your tithe, you give, you belong to 30 ministries, out of the 33 ministries of Agape, you are the first to get to church. You do everything you are meant to do, yet it seems as if nothing is going right. But I declare to your life today, the Lord is about to move mountains for you. You didn't get that. I said the Lord is about to move mountains for you. In the name of Jesus. The priesthood was also in crisis. The sons of Eli, they were running riot. And their dad was too weak to call them to order. And lastly, the nation of Israel was in crisis. The Bible says that everyone was doing what was right in their own eyes. Now, from this cacophony of crisis, from this bewildering bedlam, from this situation that seems impossible, God reached out to the balcony of heaven and looked down upon the family of Hannah. And he looked down upon even the nation of Israel and said, it is time for me to bring a change. I don't know who I'm preaching to this morning, but the Lord is saying, I have seen your tears and I'm about to change your situation. Glory be to God, somebody. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me, and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Tell your neighbor, it is time for you to bear much fruit. Lesson number two. This sounds a little bit complex, but it's really very simple. Inaccurate spiritual diagnosis could lead to severe complications. Let's read it together. No, Hannah was barren. Is that not correct? I don't think so. I'm not really very sure. It's not very certain. I don't believe Hannah was barren. It could be more of an assumption than a reality. Are you here, somebody? Now, I looked at quite a few Bible translations of 1 Samuel 1. Let's pay some close attention to the text. 1 Samuel 1:5. Let's put it on and pay close attention to the text. NIV, ESV, and NACB, they said, the Lord had closed her womb. And NLT says, the Lord had given her no children. A few other translations. I think we need the anointing of God upon our people in presentation. Someone say, Lord, help them there. Let your fire come down. King James Version says, the Lord had shut her womb. And Holman Translation says, the Lord had kept her from conceiving. The Message Bible, God had not given her children. And Good News says, the Lord had kept her from having children. So I looked at 21 translations. None used the word barren. So I began to wonder, what is the Lord saying here? Now, people of God, the dictionary says barrenness means incapable of producing offspring, of seed. In other words, sterile. So I sort of dug a little bit deeper. And I looked at the meaning in Hebrew of the word close there. The word translated close here in Hebrew means sagar, pronounced sogar. Somebody said sogar. It means to shut, to close, to be shut or closed. It is the same word translated even in a few Bible passages. Exodus 14:3 says, for Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they entangle in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. The same word in Ezekiel 44:1 that says, then he brought me back the way of the gate of the outward sanctuary, which looked toward the east, and it was shut. The same translation in Ezekiel 46 of closed, verse 1. This is what the sovereign Lord says. The gate of the inner court facing the east is to be shut on 6 working days. So there's a difference between barrenness and a closed womb. Someone say closed womb. One gives an impression of something temporary, while the other gives an impression of something permanent. A closed womb is something that is closed that could be. Are you here, somebody? I don't believe Hannah was facing a permanent situation. She just encountered a divine delay while the world diagnosed her as being barren. You know, people assume stuff. A friend of mine came to this country from Africa a couple of years ago, several years ago, and he said he was working as a security guard. And someone called him one day and said, I know someone who can help you fix your papers. And the guy said, I got a green card. But there was an assumption, because of the kind of work he did, that the guy did not have papers. Everyone with a wrong assumption over your life, the Lord will expose them. You didn't get that. Everyone who thought because where you are, my God. Now, where you are is not a function of where the Lord is taking you to. Glory be to God, somebody. We need to be angry against the devil sometimes. Tell your neighbor, do not judge me by my past. I don't live there anymore. Now, the distinction between closed womb and being barren is very important. Because if you have a closed womb issue, and then you think you are barren, your faith may flag, your faith may falter and vacillate. Then when you know you only have a closed womb situation, that diagnosis is correct, then automatically your prognosis will be to bear much fruit. So accurate diagnosis means fewer complications. Are you here, somebody? Do not convince yourself that your mother-in-law somewhere in Africa is the cause of your issue. I thought I had an amen. I need encouragement here this afternoon, this morning. You know, there are some people, you look at them, you look at their faces, you know they are really encouraging you. And there are others, you look at them, you're not really very sure whether you want to look at them. Should I, Pastor Bimba, mention those people who you are not really sure? Okay, we leave that to the Holy Spirit to help us. It will bring into remembrance all things. Hallelujah, somebody. Lesson number 3. Remain focused even in the face of provocation. Now, Penny was provoking this woman because she wanted a reaction. And somebody said, not every action is worthy of a reaction. Are you here, somebody? Now, Hannah was provoked by everyone and everything around her. The Bible says Penny provoked her to irritate her. Penny provoked her cruelly. Now, listen, church. What do you do in a situation when your adversary is getting all the blessings? The Bible says Penny had kids, I believe boys and girls. Maybe she did not even ask for one, but the Lord decided to bless her in any case. What do you do in such a situation? You've been very upright, you've been very good, yet,
things are not just really working out. You need to face the situation and know that your adversary is trying to provoke a reaction. You can imagine the kind of conversation in the household of Elkanah. Maybe the kids of Penny will be asking Mommy Penny, what's the matter with Mommy Hannah? Doesn't she want kids? I don't know what's going on with her. And I believe Penny will be saying, I know she wants kids, but she can never get kids. I don't know what she did when she was young. Maybe she had quite a few abortions. Hannah, don't you want kids? After all, her husband will give you the worthy portion, even of the meat of sacrifice. You've got the kids. You got the meat, but I got the children. Never letting her forget her situation. Have you been in a situation where people remind you again and again and again that because you got this accent, you cannot get that job? Because nobody can even pronounce the college you went to. Because of that, you cannot get this job. People of God, it is not about your qualifications. It is God who is able to qualify you. The Bible talks about David. David wasn't qualified to defeat Goliath. It was God who decided to qualify David. The Lord will qualify you in the name of Jesus. Number one, Penny provoked her. Number two, her husband also provoked her in a way. Now, notice what the guy said in 1 Samuel 1:8. Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more than 10 sons to you? In other words, it was about him. He could have said, Hannah, you mean more than 10 sons to me. But Hannah, she wasn't provoked. Even the priest Eli provoked her. Hannah, I don't really know what's going on here. I can't smell beer, but something seems to be amiss. Maybe you are a little bit drunk. But Hannah, she decided just to answer in a gentle way. The Bible says a gentle answer deflects anger, but harsh words, they make tempers flare. You know, Hannah could have gotten herself entangled in a situation with a priest. You can imagine if the pastor is telling you that. You will say, Pastor, I don't know whether you are trained well in the seminary. You will just want to give it back to the pastor. But Hannah, she was measured. The society also provoked her. I believe there will be people who are jeering, sniggering behind her in the town square, even in the marketplace. But she decided not to lose focus. Even though she was hard-pressed on every side, yet she wasn't crushed. Even though Hannah was perplexed, she wasn't in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. The Bible says, we got this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the excellency may be of God. It is it's that treasure inside of us that is keeping us going. Some things that will have finished you, you just kept on being strong. Because you've got that treasure, which is the Holy Ghost. Amen, somebody. Now, The reality is that sometimes adversity could be your gateway to advancement. You didn't get that? Adversity could be your gateway to advancement. The Bible says, though the righteous fall 7 times, they rise again. I don't know what is falling in your life. I decree they will rise again. Maybe the gift the Lord has given you has been dying. It has been comatose. They shall rise again. In the name of Jesus. Maybe your relationship at home is topsy-turvy. The Lord will make them rise again. In the name of Jesus. There is a difference between a knockdown and a knockout. If you are knocked down as a boxer, all you need to do is to get up before the count of 10 and the bout will continue. You are not knocked out. You are just knocked down. And the Lord will bring you up again. In the name of Jesus. When you are knocked down and you look at who is looking at you, you will shake yourself together and say, my adversary, you will not have the last word. My God will have the last word. And my God says, when I pass through the waters, he will be with me. When I pass through the rivers will not overtake me. When I walk through the fire will not burn me. Somebody say, yes, Lord. God is always looking for opportunities to bless us, even in the time of adversity. Now, several years ago in 2009, in London, my job finished. May 22. You know, in Europe, you can't fire people the way you fire people in the U.S. So we went through a long process of about 18 months. We went to the union, we went to the tribunal. We did everything possible, and the supervisor said, the job has to go to Cape Town in South Africa. I couldn't go to Cape Town. But there was a friend of mine in human resources said, Tunde, you got to fight this thing. This thing is not fair. And I said, just let it go. Somebody said, let it go. The Lord took me through a series of difficult situations for about 18 months before I got another job. But my testimony is that when I got another job, my income almost doubled. My influence more than doubled. And I got to the point where I would be consulted and I say, fix a salary for this director, fix a salary for the other director. If I had been on that job, this wouldn't have happened. Are you here, somebody? That is why the Bible says, all things work together. My God, you didn't get that. Things that may not be pleasant, things that may be challenging, things that may appear as if he wants to kill you, somehow they will work together for your good. I thought I had a big amen. Lesson number 4. Not every closed door is impregnable. In other words, not every closed door is unassailable. Not every closed door is like a wall. Now, you approach a door, it is closed. You know, many of us, at the slightest hint of disappointment, we just give up. I mean, so there is statistics that says, for you to get your dream job, you probably need to apply over 1,000 times. I met a woman a couple of years ago. She said, I'm just tired. This thing isn't working. I said, how many applications have you sent out? She said, I've sent about 12. I just laughed. Tell your neighbor, you got to keep it up. Hallelujah, somebody. You apply here. They didn't give it to you. You get yourself together. You pray to God. Thank God we do applications by email. Before, you put it in an envelope. You lick the envelope, you lick the stamp, you lay hands upon the envelope, you speak in tongues, and then you take it to the post office. And you're waiting for the postman to carry it. And then you release the blessings of God upon the postman. Glory be to God, somebody. And every door, every closed door is impregnable. You can tap the door. If it doesn't open, you can elbow the door. If it doesn't open, then you push. You push. you begin to pray until something happens. Because that door must open. That door must open. That door must open. Doors of good jobs. Doors of prosperity. Doors of good relationship. Doors of progress. Doors of advancement. They shall open in the name of Jesus. Somebody say, yes, Lord. People of God, Hannah could have reacted in different ways. She could have accused Penny of wickedness and badmouthed her all throughout the town, hoping Elkanah would divorce her. But she did not do that. She could have issued an ultimatum to Elkanah. Elkanah, if you really love me, you got to make a choice. I've been hanging out with you for too long. I'm not even sure you're professing to love me, whether you really love me. But she did not. Number three, she could have drowned in self-pity and become disagreeable. You know, sometimes when we are reacting to what people do to us, we become nastier than them. I hear somebody. Look at your neighbor and just don't say anything. Just look at your neighbor. She could have gone to a therapist. I'm not saying therapists are not good, but sometimes Jesus is the best therapist. I hear somebody. And then the therapist would have told her, Hannah, you got a problem with self-esteem. You got to do something about it. She would have refused to go to Shiloh and missed her miracle. You know, some people leave church and leave the faith because of what something said about them and thereby miss their blessings. She could have played the blame game and begin to blame everybody. Elkanah, it's because you are not making a choice. The society is too harsh on me. But she decided to take a leaf from the Hezekiah book of prayer. The Bible says in Isaiah 38, when the prophet Isaiah, the eagle-eyed prophet, when he got something from the Lord, he went to Hezekiah and said, Hezekiah, it is time for you to die. If you haven't written your will, you've got to write your will now. If you haven't told your people, you've got to tell your people now because you will die. Hezekiah could have gotten into a situation with the prophet. He could have said, prophet, but a couple of weeks ago, when we got problems with the king of Assyria, isn't it you that told us what the Lord said, that do not be afraid that the king of Assyria will die? And the king of Assyria, the Bible says, die from the sword of his children. Isaiah, what is going on here? Even if the Lord told you to say this, you could have said it in a way that is a little bit palatable. How come you are not pronouncing even death on my life? But the Bible says, Hezekiah, he decided to face the wall. I said, Lord, it is not the time for me to die. I don't know somebody here. Maybe there is something hanging over your life that smells like death. I remove that by the power of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. And the Bible says, Isaiah, the son of Amos, I believe he will still be in the perimeter, even of the king's palace. God said, because of his response, he responded well. Go back and tell Hezekiah, I am going to leave the sentence of death upon him, and I will add 15 more years to his life. Glory be to God, servant. Hannah knew her only recourse was to turn back to God, who closed her womb in the first place. After the food, the Bible says she separated herself and went to pray. You know, there are times that a bilateral discussion with God will solve the problem. There are times for group actions. There are times for group family prayers. But sometimes, you don't need a multilateral action to get things done from heaven. The Bible says, Jacob, the night before he wrestled with the angel of God, the Bible says he asked his kids, his maids, his wives, he left, sent them across the ford of Jabbok, and he decided to wrestle with God. Because a time of separation is a time of concentration. A time of separation is a time of consecration. Glory be to God. Now, if you finish using your computer, you normally power it down. Is that not correct? Some of us, we power it down for a night. Some of us, we power it down for a few weeks. Some of us, we power it down, then we put our family in the car, we drive to Florida, and then we come back in a couple of days. And when you come back, how do you bring it back to life? You got a password, right? or a pass key. You got that key that you've programmed yourself, and then you press it in, and then that computer will come back to life. Amen, someone. In other words, God powered down Hannah's womb. You didn't get that. God decided to power down the womb of Hannah. And Hannah knew there is only one passcode that could power it up again. And that passcode is prayer. I don't know whether you get that. The only passcode that could bring that thing to life is prayer. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth, that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. In Hannah, God found such a heart. My prayer for you this morning is that God will find such a heart in you. In the name of Jesus. Somebody say amen. Lesson number 5. We're going to have to say this together. Let's say it together. One to go. A symmetry between the wish of heavens and the desire of man yields results. In other words, when there is an alignment between what you want and what heavens want, there will be answers. Are you here, somebody? Now, remember under lesson 1, I said it was a total crisis situation. The nation at this time was in crisis. It was in chaos. There was disorder in the nation. There was confusion in the nation. There was anarchy. There was pandemonium. There was disarray. The nation was in a mess. It was that things were unruly. It was a time of transition between the judges and the kings. And the Bible says, word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions, they were infrequent. Eli's sons, they were repugnant in their behavior. Messing around with the meat and messing around with the women at the gate of the tabernacle. And there was a pious woman called Hannah. This woman desired a son. Unknown to this woman, God also desired a judge. You don't understand that. Hannah was looking for a son, and God was looking for a judge, and everything came together. Hannah was desperate to shake off the shame of childlessness, and God needed a womb to carry a prophet. Hannah wanted the joy of motherhood, and God was looking for a righteous woman to bless her. So he decided to close Hannah's womb temporarily. God decided to place a pause even on Hannah's reproductive system temporarily until the time he was ready to bless Israel with a prophet. And the Bible says Eli decided to bless Hannah, and Hannah had a son. The wishes of heaven and the situation on earth, they began to collide. The petition of Hannah and the wish of heaven, they came together. There was a spiritual explosion, a galactic alignment in the spirit realm. And the Bible makes us to understand that God produced a son for himself, and a son for Hannah, and a prophet for himself. And here comes Samuel. Somebody is Samuel. Oh, Samuel. He was a straight talking, clear seeing, perceptive, authoritative, no nonsense judge of Israel. He was not intimidated by Saul's personality. He was able to tell Saul off when Saul was fumbling. He was the same prophet who anointed the head of David, and from David came a Messiah. I thought I had an amen in the house. Oh God, help me here this afternoon. Everything changed for the nation when Samuel was born. Everything changed for the family when Samuel was born. He became the deliverer of his people, just like Moses was. He delivered the nation from the hands of the Philistines, just like Moses delivered the nation from the hands of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And the Bible says in 1 Samuel 3:1, so the Philistines, they were subdued. In other words, they were disgraced. They were demeaned, they were humiliated, they were thrashed, and they came no more into the court of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. A single individual changed the course of history. I don't know whether you're getting it. My God. He played a fundamental role in keeping the enemy at bay. A single person. He opened up an era of progress under the rule of kings. He closed an old order and opened a new one. He terminated the judgeship and introduced the kingship. He initiated the prophethood to replace the winning priesthood in speaking for God. People did not respect priests anymore at this time. His record was not marred by any act or word unworthy of his office. Did you hear anything written about Samuel that was iffy? He was upright. He was almost without spot or wrinkle. He was blameless and righteous. Now, you begin to wonder, Pastor, if Penny had not provoked her, if Penny had been easy with her, if Penny had been embracing her, the Lord will do it. Just be quiet. Just don't fret. There's a possibility that Hannah will not have pressed God. So in other words, you can almost thank Penny for Samuel. You will thank your adversary for your progress in the name of Jesus. People of God, you can imagine if Pharaoh had been very soft on the people of Israel. If he hadn't been harsh, they would stay there and be eating onions, leek, cucumber, all kinds of exotic vegetables, and would probably be even in captivity for a long time. You can imagine Nehemiah, if the gates and the walls of Jerusalem had not burned, he would still be in the palace of the king of Babylon, testing wine. My God. But that tragedy opened the way for his advancement. I don't know what you have gone through or what you are going through. God will use that to take you higher. I thought that would be a better amen. Whatever you are going through, God will use it to take you higher in the name of Jesus. People of God, let me ask you a question. Who had the last laugh, Penny or Hannah? Somebody say Penny. We will anoint that person and pray a prayer of deliverance. And the Lord will do it as he always does it. Amen, somebody. Now, did you hear about the children of Penny after 1 Samuel 1? After the birth of Samuel, Penny sank without a trace. Her purpose was fulfilled. Her time of influence was over. Rise on your feet. My God. Let me say a word of prophecy to somebody here. My God, your adversary's hold on you is broken completely. Every hold of the adversary over your life is broken completely. In the name of Jesus, everyone that rages against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing. People of God, every storm has an expiry date. Every storm has an end date. Every storm has a level of it will expire. Your storm is expiring today. I say your storm is expiring today. In the name of Jesus. Penny was merely a footnote of history, while Hannah was a shaper of history. Oh my God. Two books were named after Hannah's son. Do you even know the names of Penny's children? God is preparing to birth something great in you. God will use your adversary to open great and effectual doors for you. In the name of Jesus, God is about to open your womb. Search yourself and say, I am not barren. I have a closed womb situation. And the Lord is about to open my womb. And I'm about to birth my Samuel. Samuel of prosperity. Samuel of jobs. Samuel of progress. So, kabababarobos in it. Every spirit of divorce that is hovering over your family, I cancel it by fire. Oh! Every spirit of divorce that is threatening the existence of your family, I cancel them by the fire of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus. My God. Because you love God. The Bible says all things work together. Because you love God, every wilderness experience, every setback, every tribulation, God will somehow bring them together and they will work for your good.
And just like Joseph did, you will declare, what is intended to harm me, God has changed it even to favor me. In the name of Jesus. What will sink other people, what will submerge other people, will make you stronger in Christ. In the name of Jesus. Now listen, people of God. Listen. Your life is like a book of many chapters. Now, chapter 1, you open it, it may be disappointment. Chapter 2, may be lack. Chapter 3, may be no job. Keep on opening the book. Before you get to the end of the book, you will get to the chapter of victory. You will get to the chapter of progress. You will get to great chapters in your life. It is not over for you. Your Lord is on the throne. Because He is on the throne, He will not leave you. He will not disappoint you. In the name of Jesus. I thought I had a better amen. People of God, your circumstances will not make you change your view of God. You will let God change your view of your circumstances. Now listen, people of God. Your difficult roads will lead to beautiful destinations. No hater. Listen. No hater, listen, no hater can stop God's favor in your life. God will give them front seat to watch you prosper. It is not the time for them to die. It is time for them to see that the Lord has set a table in front of you. And your cup of joy, your cup of progress, your cup of good things will keep on running over. Somebody say, glory be to God. Like Samuel, your kids will change the situation in their generation. You didn't get that. I say your kids will change the situation in their generations. In the name of Jesus. My God. I just want you to lift up your voices in the 2 minutes that you have. I don't know what you are trusting the Lord for. I know there are some of you, you've been under pressure. There is somebody here, you're under the pressure even from your work. You wake up in the morning, it seems as if, am I going to face this manager today? Lift up your voices and say, Lord, that pressure will take me to a higher place. Lift up your voices and release your faith even to God. Because He is about to prepare for you even great and mighty things. You are about to bath even your Samuel. Lift up your voices and say, Lord, it is time for me. I've been staying on this mountain for too long. I just need to make progress. I need to move forward. Karabasenia, lift up your voices and begin to say that prayer. I can feel the presence of the Lord powerfully, mightily here. As I was standing up, I could see something like fire hovering on that side. He was hovering on that side. He was hovering on that side. My God, there's an anointing in this place. Lift up your voice and say, Lord, it is time. The Bible says, the Lord remembered Hannah. Say, Lord, it is time for you to remember me. It is time for you to remember me. And the Bible says, after remembering Hannah, God visited Hannah. It is time, oh God, for your visitation. Lift up your voices. It is time, oh God, for your visitation upon my life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands. Father God, I believe you have blessed your people. I believe the people who are in chains and bondage, they've been delivered. Those who have trusted the Lord for the gift of the womb, just put your hand on your tummy, wherever you are, and say, Lord, it is done. Say, Lord, it is done. I am not barren. The Lord is opening it. He will open it. And about this time next year, you will come to testify. About this time next year. About this time next year. I'm pronouncing it under the unction of the power of God and the Holy Ghost in here. About this time next year, you will come to testify. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Father, I've delivered your word. And I believe your people have been blessed. We just give you all the glory. We are not taking any of the glory. We return to you all the glory, all the power, and all the adoration. Thank you, Father in heaven. In Jesus' name we have prayed. I thought that amen would be richer.